So the Mishnah, the beginning of Masechet Brachos, speaks about the brachas that accompany Kriya Shema. The Mishnah tells us that Chazal Mesakeh, that you make a series of brachas before Kriya Shema, and makes two brachas after Kriya Shema, Shachris, Ma'ariv, etc. So there is a major machlokes to Rishonim. What is the relationship between these brachas and the mitzvah of Kriya Shema? So we colloquially call them brachas Kriya Shema, but it's not so simple that that's even the case. So much of the discussion revolves around the Gemara that appears in the first Perek of Brachos, where the Gemara speaks about if a person misses Zman Kriya Shema. So the Mishnah says that if you miss Zman Kriya Shema, you should still say Shema, lo hifsid, ki adam shekor b'torah. Even though you definitely lost, you lost the mitzvah of the rise of Kriya Shema pashtas, but lo hifsid is habrachas, the Gemara says. When the Lashon Mishnah lo hifsid means you should at least say it because you're going to be able to still say the brachas. The question is, how could that be? How could you say the brachas if you're not being able to say Kriya Shema? So that was part of what led the Kesef Mishnah, we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, to conclude that Midaraisa, there really is no such thing as my Kriya Shema in the morning. Midaraisa, you could say Kriya Shema the whole day of Kumecha, just like Meshach Pacha. So the Kesef Mishnah brought his Raya from this Gemara. Otherwise, it would be inconceivable to recite Brachas Kriya Shema. You're not Yotzi anything. So the Kesef Mishnah said, talk Midaraisa Yotzi. Midarabani, you're not Yotzi. But since Midaraisa Yotzi, you could still make the Brachas. So we pointed out that most posts would just be Magen Avraham and a Raya against the Kesef Mishnah. Most posts did not accept the Kesef Mishnah. We don't follow this Kesef Mishnah. So how do we understand Pshat in this halacha? So the Rashba Bracha says that this is a Raya, that the Brachas of Kriya Shema are really a little bit of a misnomer. That they're not really Brachas of Kriya Shema, they're really Brachas at Tefillah. The part of Seder at Tefillah. We say that we sandwich Kriya Shema in the middle of them, but they don't really relate so much to the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. They're much more part of the Seder at Tefillah. So therefore, if you miss by Kriya Shema, you could still say the brachas, as long as you could still daven. When do you daven? So the Mishnah says, the machlekes to Rabbi Yudin de Chachamim, when is the self-zman of Shacharis? According to the Chachamim, it's the Chatzais, and according to Rabbi Yudin, it's the Dalet Shos. So that's what many Rishonim who follow this understanding of the Rashba, that the brachas are really a function of Tefillah. So whatever you think is the soul's man tefillah, if you think it's Dalet Shos, we think it's Chatzos. So we don't know the answer to that question yet because we're inside of Tefillah. That'll be our next unit. But hopefully when we figure out what the answer to that question is, then we'll be able to circle back to where the soul's man Berachas Kriya Shema is. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam writes, you could say Berachas Kriya Shema the whole day. Maybe the Rambam holds, like the Kesef Mishnah perhaps, or maybe the Rambam holds that stop, because our Mesachah, these brachas, these are daily brachas. They're not Kriya Shema brachas, they're not tefillah brachas. They're daily brachas. So you can make them perhaps the entire day. So that far we don't go. So we'll see as we get Luchas Tefillah. That's a big machlokes haposkim. Is the Sov Zman for Birchas Kriya Shema Dalet Shos? Was the Sov Zman for Birchas Kriya Shema Til Chatzos? We don't follow the Shittas Rambam. You can say it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But on Kol Panim, there is this underlying question as to what is the relationship between the brachas and the Kriya Shema. So this plays a big role in terms of, let's say, a person wants the Chetchila to say, he'll wake up in the morning, he'll say Kriya Shema at 8 o'clock, go back to sleep, he'll daven at a quarter to ten. So assuming that he's going to make Zman Tefillah, is there anything wrong with that? Is that perfectly acceptable or not? So many Rishonim would say, no, that's not right, because then you're losing out the Brachas Kriya Shema. The Brachas are supposed to be on the Kriya Shema, but the Yevet, if you didn't, okay, so then maybe there's a Kiyam anyway, lo hifsid habrachas, but to say Lechetchila, you're allowed to daven Shachris like that, you're going to say Kriya Shema first, and then go back to sleep, and then say the Brachas later. So many would say that's a problem. And perhaps according to the Rashi, it's not a problem. Perhaps that if it's really part of Seder at Tefillah, so it doesn't really matter. As long as you get him in before Zman Tefillah, that would be sufficient. So we try to be machmer that. The correct thing to do is, the correct protocol is to try to say the Kriya Shema Seder Brachas. What if you have no choice? What if there's only minyan in town, is davening after the Zman? So that was a machlekes. So most people have the practice under those circumstances, they'll say the Kriya Shema beforehand, and they'll rely on the Evan and the Rashba. And others would disagree. Others say no, that it's really a brichas Kriya Shema. Therefore, it's inconceivable to say Kriya Shema Shalom b'brichasa. It's not right, and that din trumps the din of davening in a minyan. So yesh v'yesh, different opinions about that. And most people probably would recite the Kriya Shema before the zman, and then the brachas with the tefillah to daven in a minyan. But again, lechetchila to set up you get a daven lechetchila that way. So that's not really according to many. At least that would not be correct. That's part of the same issue when it comes to Kriya Shema at night. That according to many Rishonim, you're not really Yotzei Kriya Shema at night when you daven early. So you daven right after Shkia. So according to the simple reading of the Mishnah and the Brachas, the Beis, you're not really Yotzei. It's Rosh Hashitah. You're not really Yotzei Kriya Shema. So then how could you daven? So have to say the Brachas, because the Brachas are Brachas at Tefillah. But they're also part of Kriya Shma. That's what many people would not daven an early Meir. Many people would refrain. They would wait till daven later, also because they want to make sure that they get Kriya Shma Bevir Chosel. I mean, the same question repeats itself. Let's say that comes into conflict with davening minyan. The only minyan in town is davening early. So is it better that I should daven early and lose out that aspect of Birchas Kriya Shma? Or maybe I should daven later and I'll lose out the Tefillah B'Tzibur. So again, those are Yesh V'Yesh, different practices about that. Most of the practice, that Tefillah B'Tzibur trumps whatever these other concerns are. This idea that it's not 100% clear whether the brachas are part of Kriya Shma or not, this touches on the issue that the Rishonim have about, is there a concern of being mafsik between Boicha B'Yama Yisrael B'Yava and Kriya Shma? The Mishnah has a whole series of different dinim about when you're allowed to be mafsik, when you're not allowed to be mafsik. So usually the starting point is you're not supposed to be mafsik at all, neither in the brachos nor in the Kriya Shma. The Mishnah says, "Ibnei Hashalom, Shalom Ibnei Hakavod, Ibnei Yira, Meishiv," the whole technical details in the Mishnah, Maseches Brachos, when you're allowed to be mafsik in the middle of Kriya Shma. We assume halacha that most of that probably doesn't apply to this man Azeb because people are not so machmir. People don't give Shalom Aleichem on a regular Tuesday afternoon. So Kav HaChomer, when you're in the middle of Kriya Shema, no one's going to get terribly insulted if you don't give him a big hello in the middle of Kriya Shema. So that's what that minig is. The Rishonim quote that we still have a little bit of a remnant of that din, like I have an answer in Kaddish and Kedusha and Baruch Hu, even though we're not so machmir to be machzor shalom to people today, but we are machmir in Kvod Shemayim. So if you hear a Baruch Hu, you hear a Kaddish, you hear a Kedusha, so then you would be permitted to be mafsik. Then the din of Maseches Brachos would kick in. So even though there are certain times you're allowed to be mafsik, but otherwise you're not allowed to stop to say things in the middle of Kriya Shema, in the middle of Birchas Kriya Shema is not right. So what about answering Amen? So usually answering Amen to a Bracha is a good thing. It's a positive thing to do. Unless, let's say, I just made a Bracha, Lishma Kol Shofar, and then I hear somebody, I'm not supposed to answer Amen at that point. So let's say I just said a Baruch Hu B'Yisrael B'Yahava and I'm about to say Kriya Shema, and then I hear the Chazan says that bracha. Yeah, somebody else says that bracha. Is that the right thing to do to answer Amen at that point or not? So this is probably also a throwback to this issue. If you hold that the brachas are not really related to Kriya Shema, you don't need as a smichos between a Baruch Hu B'Yisrael B'Yahava and Kriya Shema. It's part of the Seder Tefillah, so it's bound by the regular rules of Hefsek. So you would be allowed to answer Amen at that point. If you hold that the brachas are really Birchas Kriya Shema, they're almost like a Birchas Mitzvah a little bit. It's like a different nusra of Birchas Mitzvah. So then one would not be permitted to be mafsik at that point. So there are different minhagim about this. It's for that reason that there are many places of the practice that they say a Baruch Hu B'Yisrael B'Yahava together with the chazan. That avoids any shaila of reciting amen. And if one didn't do that, so then there are different opinions in the poskim. Again, the lumdus probably also hopefully hinges on this basic question: what is the relation between these brachas and the Kriya Shema? You know, concerning the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, so we have to discuss who is chayav in Kriya Shema, who is patur from Kriya Shema. So the Mishnah says beferish in the third parak, and nashim are paturas from Kriya Shema, because it says man grama. We mentioned a couple of weeks ago that there was a machlekes, the Magen Avraham, the Shagisarye, whether that means the paturas also from Yitzias Mitzrayim every day. So the Magen Avraham assumed that that's not called man grama, because you have to be maskir b'yom b'yom b'malayla. There's no moment when you can't be maskir. So women should be maskir Yitzias Mitzrayim a little bit b'yom b'malayla. And the Sheikh Asai said no. He said that each mitzvah is a different mitzvah. Yom is b'yom v'lo b'layah, layah is b'layah v'lo b'yom. It also qualifies as ban grama. But Kriya Shema for sure, the pturas, that's the Ferish Mishnah, women are pturas. Should women volunteer to recite Kriya Shema? So we have a general rule that it's a nice thing to do when women volunteer doing mitzvahs. Every once in a while, we have some mitzvahs that we have technical reasons why we don't want them to volunteer. Those are the mitzvahs that sits in tefillah. We spoke about them earlier this year. But Kriya Shema, why not? What's the downside of being volunteering to say Kriya Shema? And forget the Rishonim, right? Not only is there no downside, there's actually a very big upside. That it's a good thing. It's Kabbalah Samachos Shemayim. That there are certain mitzvahs that say Shemayim Grama. We strongly encourage. Like we tell the women to come to Shul to hear the shofar. We want them to do certain mitzvahs. You know, whether or not the woman, say, shakes the lulav, okay, the world's going to go, you're not going to fall apart either way. But there are certain mitzvahs that are very, very good for women to participate in. And one of them being the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. That's what it says in Shulchan and the Poskim. Ramah writes that it's the proper thing that women every day should say Kriya Shema, the Nar Chayavos. Just as the Nar Chayavos in Kriya Shema, the Nar Chayavos in Birchas Kriya Shema either. Because Birchas Kriya Shema are also, there's my grandma. You only say it at certain times of the day. So now the question becomes, can a woman volunteer to say Birchas Kriya Shema? So this is a throwback to the Machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam we spoke about many times. Whenever you have a mitzvah the mitzvah that women have turos from, is it appropriate for them to recite a bracha or not? So the Rambam always says no. The Rambam says you can't volunteer to recite brachas. It's a bracha levatal. The Rambam is very machmir and bracha levatal. He holds that bracha levatal is a shavah deraisa. So the Rambam says that the woman would not recite brachas kriyas shema. And Rabbeinu Tam, lechara, would disagree. Rabbeinu Tam says they can recite brachas on lulav and sukkah. They can volunteer because they get a kiyam mitzvah. They can save it silanu. So too, they should be able to volunteer to recite brachas kriyas shema. For kids, it's probably better, it's probably more understandable that they can volunteer and say Birchas Kriyas Shema and then the bracha and other mitzvahs. Birchas and mitzvahs, you run into a little bit of a sheker issue. The sheker yishon mitzvahis of tzivanu. How do you justify saying mitzivanu if you're not really chayiv in the mitzvah? Whereas when it comes to Kriyas Shema, so there is no mitzivanu in there. So if you ask me, I would say it's easier to justify a woman reciting Birchas Kriyas Shema than reciting a Birchas mitzvah. So there are some acharonim who say the opposite. Some acharonim say that b'medav ha'mamurim, that women volunteer to recite brachas, that's only when they're doing the ma'aseh mitzvah anyway. So they're doing a whole ma'aseh, then they can stick in a bracha for good luck. But when the whole mitzvah is just a bracha alone, so that women don't have a right to volunteer. It's a very, very hard svara to understand. The person can talk about that by Havdalah or with the Kiddush Levana, so maybe in years to come we'll try to get to those, we'll try to figure out what that svara is all about. But when it comes to Birchas Kriyas Shema, so the Minhag Yisrael, at least in the Ashkenazi community, is that the women do recite Birchas Kriyas Shema, even though they're pterus from it. In the hardcore Sephardi communities that follow the Pesach and the Shulchan Aruch, so then the women probably should not. They should recite without Sheva Malchus if they want to recite it, but they should recite it as a real bona fide bracha. So again, women are for sure pturus from Kriyas Shema, they're pturus from Birchas Kriyas Shema, whether they should volunteer or not volunteer, that depends on what we just mentioned. Who else is potter from Kriyas Shema? Ketanim are potter from Kriyas Shema, that's for sure. Ketanim are potter from all mitzvahs. But the Gemara tells us that there's a mitzvah chinuch on Ketanim, whether it's a chiyuv on the father, a chiyuv on the child. But the Gemara says beferish in sukkah that when a child reaches the age of sitting in the sukkah properly, he should sit in the sukkah. When he reaches the age of shaking a lulav properly, he reaches the age of tzitzis, whenever he reaches the age of that particular mitzvah, he is chayav in the mitzvah of midrabanan al tzchinuch. So the chor, that should carry over to Kriyas Shema as well. If the child is a gil chinuch, we should be mechanechem on Kriyas Shema. So that's the machlekes of Rishayim. Some Rishayim say inochinami. Another Rishayim say no, that's on Kriyas Shema is a hard mitzvah to be mechanech because it's early in the morning and the kids sleep in and he's hanging out with his kids trying to get dressed to go to school. A lot of distractions in the morning. You want to take your kid to the sukkah on sukkah's night. You want to take your kid to shul and Rosh Hashanah. No, those are mitzvahs that chinuch makes sense. Kriyas Shema is such a difficult mitzvah to mechanech children properly in. So some Rishayim say there's no chinuch whatsoever on Kriyas Shema. So we usually try to get our little kids to say Kriyas Shema, whether or not that's a real chiyuv or not, the subject to this machlokes. Who else is potentially pater from Kriyas Shema? So the Mishnah in the first paragraph of Brachas speaks about someone who's an Isaac B'mitzvah. So Isaac B'mitzvah is pater from Kriyas Shema. For that matter, Isaac B'mitzvah is pater from all mitzvahs in the Torah. The Mokor for Isaac B'mitzvah, pater B'mitzvah, is actually from Kriyas Shema. The Torah says, B'shivtcha v'isecha v'lechtecha v'derech. So v'lechtecha v'derech, the Torah Shema explains, that means v'lech is nidoch. When you're walking in your own private way, you do your own personal business, then you have to stop and say Kriyas Shema. If you're in the middle of doing a tzarchei mitzvah, then you don't have to stop. So this is the entire source for the sugya of Isaac B'mitzvah Pater Ben HaMitzvah. So there's a big, big machlekes harishonim. How do we understand this halacha of Isaac B'mitzvah Pater Ben HaMitzvah? What are the parameters of this din? So Tosfos has a very, very famous kasha. They ask it in Maseches Sukkah. Other rishonim ask it. If you take this halacha to its conclusion, that Isaac B'mitzvah Pater Ben HaMitzvah all the time, so why do we ever bother doing any mitzvahs? I'm wearing tzitzis. Most guys I've seen, guys hopefully wearing tzitzis. So guy's wearing tzitzis, so he's Isaac B'mitzvah. So every time a mitzvah comes his way, I say, an ani comes to collect money for tzedakah. So I should say, Isaac B'mitzvah, I don't have to give you money. Even though there's a low sesay for not giving an ani money, the Gemara says befeirish that Isaac B'mitzvah part of mitzvah patzis is from tzedakah. So that's what Rabbi Chanan explains, that even though the ma'aseh is a lav, and Isaac B'mitzvah is not a poitah from the lav, it must be that the lav is the lechazek ha'esay. It means the basic bits of tzedakah is to give the money. Torah says, if you don't give the money, if you're callous and you're greedy and don't give the money, so the Torah is being mechazik the mitzvah's essay. But the klal always nifsak based on the mitzvah's essay. So since the mitzvah's essay, it doesn't apply because it's a mitzvah part of a mitzvah. The mela, the lavim don't speak to you as well. That's what Rabbi Chanan says also. That's why, even though there's a shibud on Zaktois, there's a shibud on Tzedakah, the Shiva Nechas Mitzvah, I owe the Aniyah money. So how can there be a Ptur of Isaac Mitzvah? The Gemara says in the Vakam and the Darim that if an Ani is knocking at my door and I'm in the middle of doing some kind of a mitzvah, I don't have to give him the money. What do you mean? I owe him the money. If a guy says, you owe me $1,000, I'm putting on tefillin, I don't have to give you the money. If I'm chayav and didi mam, it's chayshim mishpah to give you the money. What does Isaac mitzvah have to do with chayshim mishpah? Isaac mitzvah is a ptur from mitzvah, not a ptur from chayuvei mammon. So the answer here also, Rabbi Chanan says, that it's a shiba that's neveya from the mitzvah. If and when you're chayav in the mitzvah, then you're nechasim mishubadim. So if you're not chayav in the mitzvah, based on the klali ha-mitzvah, you're potter, because Isaac mitzvah potter in mitzvah. So mamel, there's no lav, there's no shibud, etc. So the klal of Isaac mitzvah potter in mitzvah applies to a lot of mitzvahs. So ask Tosfos, if so, I'm wearing tzitzis, I don't have to give tzedakah. I'm wearing tefillin, I have to do any mitzvah. Any mitzvah that comes my way, I'm wearing tzitzis, wearing tefillin, I'm sure it's potter. So Isaac mitzvah potter mitzvah is a great job. Just knock out all the mitzvah Torah, putting on tzitzis and tefillin. So Tosfos says the answer to this question is that we overrated a little bit Isaac mitzvah. Tosfos writes, Isaac mitzvah potter mitzvah means that if it's EF Shalakayim Shneim, that if you, I'm in the middle of mitzvah A, if I'm going to stop mitzvah A, it's going to, and I'm going to go try to do mitzvah B, I won't be able to do both. So I'm going to stop A to do B. So that's what the Torah says. You don't do that. The Torah says that Isaac with mitzvah, pot with a mitzvah, because it's EF Shalakayim Shneim. But if it's EF Shalakayim Shneim, so you have to make Kayim Shneim. So Tosfos writes that there's no p'tur of Isaac mitzvah, pot with mitzvah, but it's EF Shalakayim Shneim. So that's what Tosfos writes. You're wearing tzitzis, and now an ani knocks on your door. How does giving him the money interfere with your first mitzvah? It's EF Shalakayim Shneim easily. You're wearing tefillin, and somebody asks you to do something. So EF Shalakayim Shneim. So whenever it's EF Shalakayim Shneim, so there's no p'tur of Isaac mitzvah. So the Ran, Masech HaSukkah, disagrees. Ran writes that Isaac mitzvah applies across the board. If I'm doing a mitzvah, I don't have to do any other mitzvahs. So how does the Ran answer this question of Tosfos? Every time you wink tits, you wink tefillin, you should be potter. So the Ran says, no, we misunderstood the phrase. The phrase is Isaac mitzvah, not Mekayim mitzvah. Says the Ran, you only potter in other mitzvahs if you are actively doing a Maitzah Shal Mitzvah Shav. The fact that you are wearing tits, you're wearing tefillin because you put on the tits of tefillin an hour ago, you're still called the Mekayim mitzvah, but you're not called an Isaac mitzvah. So the name of the p'tur is Isaac mitzvah, Pater mitzvah. There is no p'tur called Mekayim mitzvah. So no matter how you slice it, there are certain limitations on Isaac mitzvah, but the original klal was actually derived from Hilchos Kriyashma. We pass in Shulchan Aruch like the Ran. The Isaac mitzvah, Pater mitzvah, tach applies even if it's Efshel Kayim Shneim. The only thing is that you have to be a Mamash at Isaac. Then the Ran backpedals a little bit. The Ran writes that let's say you have a situation where I'm doing mitzvah A and mitzvah B comes my way. I'm Efshalakayim, it's Efshalakayim Shneim, but I'm still potter, but it's so easy, says the Ran. Come on, it's not even like it's going to take a half a second. It's not even going to be a sweat off your back. Ein botich klal klal. So the Ran says that even I agree that, miyos tavat tikara. The Ran says you don't really have to. Meik meik radin, you could pot yourself. But if it's so easy to do, then you should have to try to do it. The Ran had a raya from the Gemara in the second book of Sukkah. The Gemara talks about a case where, let's say, a couple got married right before Sukkot, and now they're having Sheva Brachas on Sukkot night. So the Gemara says that the Bnei HaChuppah are technically potter from sitting in the Sukkah because the Isaac B'mitzvah, they dance with the Chassid, they're Mishmech the Chassid Kala. So the Gemara says that the Isaac B'mitzvah, they don't have to eat in the Sukkah. So the Gemara says, why not? Let's have the whole party inside the Sukkah. So the Gemara eventually explains why you can't do that. It's not practical, it's not going to be a right simcha, it's going to be crowded, whatever the reasons are. So the Ran asks, why did the Gemara even ask the Kasha? The Gemara makes it sound like you have to try, you have to turn the world upside down in order to get both. So Bishlam, according to Tosfos, if it's Efshel Kayim Shneim, you take a b'chuyf to Efshel Kayim Shneim. But according to the Ran, that he holds that as long as you're being Isaac right now, even if it's Efshel Kayim Shneim, you still don't have to. So why does the Gemara even work on the possibility? So the Ran says the Gemara didn't mean the question like the Torah's halacha, like an absolute chiyuv. The Gemara meant like the Torah's musar, the Torah's takashkafa. Try, don't be miyos tavatikar ra. You can do both. You should try chadchila if you can. Try, don't be such a lamdan and hide behind Isaac mitzvah. If it's easily efshel kayim shneim meikra, then you don't have to. But the Gemara was asking, alts musar, alts the proper avas mitzvahs im parat. You can really do both. You should try to do both. But in terms of the real chi of the Ran writes, if you're physically Isaac, then you're going to be potter. So the bottom line is there is a klal called Isaac mitzvah. Let's say you have a situation where a guy is an Isaac mitzvah. He doesn't have to say Krishma. But he goes ahead and does it anyway. He says, I'm potter from the mitzvah, and I do it anyway. So there's a machlekes acharonim about now, let's say, an hour later, he finishes the first mitzvah. So is he mechuyav to say Krishma a second time around? Why? What's the shaila? So So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah Daf Kaf Ches, let's say a person does a mitzvah at the time that he was potter from doing the mitzvah. This guy was a shaita, and he did a mitzvah. He ate matzah at 8 o'clock at night when he was a shaita. And then an hour later, he feels better. So the Gemara says, before she has to eat the matzah again, because the mitzvah you do b'shas p'tur doesn't count. So there was a machlekes acharonim, does that klal carry over to Isaac mitzvah potter with a mitzvah? So the Mishnah Berurah assumes the Deva Pasha that it doesn't. The Mishnah Berurah quotes a Rantap, who says that it doesn't. And he says that it's a different kind of a p'tor. Oizim mitzvah of mitzvah is not the same as a shaita. And there are others who quote a Ritva. There's a Ritva in Sukkah that sounds like it is. In fact, it's the same thing. That if you do a mitzvah b'shas p'tor, so that wouldn't knock you off. You'd have to go repeat the Kriya Shema an hour later. So whatever it is, the bottom line is Oizim mitzvah is going to be part of it. A mitzvah, the parameters of it are questionable, and that the ultimate source is derived from Kriya Shema. So it's with this background that now the Mishnah begins to discuss a very unique situation in Isaac B'mitzvah, and that's someone who's Mishnah Meisa Mutlafanov. The Mishnah says in the beginning of the third parak of Brachas that someone who's Mishnah Meisa Mutlafanov, one of his immediate seven close relatives who's just passed away, the Kfur hasn't occurred yet, so then he's potter from saying Kriya Shema, and then the Gemara quotes a Brachas that says, he's potter from Tfilah, he's potter from Tfilah, potter from Kol Mitzvah, says Shema Torah. So how do we understand this Allah? Why is it that Mishnah Meisa Mutlafanov is potter in HaMitzvahs? So Rashi on the spot writes that the reason is this is just a corollary. This is an extension of the din of Isaac B'mitzvah. Because someone who's a Misha Meisim Mutlafanov, we usually use the word onen for such a person. So the Rav pointed out that the word onen is not really a halachic correct term here. It's really more of a colloquial term. Because the word onen really refers to kachim and to Maisa Sheini. It's a different achilas kachim. It's a different word lagamri. The reason why in our lingo we call say, oh, this guy's an einein, is because it's too long to write. To say, oh, you see that guy over there? He's a Misha Meisa Mutlafanov. It takes up too much space. So therefore we shortened it to the word einein, but it's not a pure halachic, really correct term, because the term einein in pure halachic lingo has a connotation of kachim and Maisa Sheini. It has nothing to do with mitzvahs. But whatever, we call him an einein today. So the Mishnah says that einein is potter min ha-mitzvahs. So why is that? Why doesn't the onen say Kriya Shema? So Rashi writes, because the onen is an Isaac b'mitzvah. What mitzvah is he doing? He is presumably being Isaac in the midst of Kvura. He's trying to get the Kvura together, trying to find Techvich, trying to get an omer, trying to write a hesped, trying to call relatives, trying to arrange a transportation. So he's involved in all these tremendous tzorchei mitzvah. It's going to be very hard for him to do both. So therefore, Isaac mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah. That's a Rashi learns. So Rashi learns there's nothing unique about onen. It's just a plain, simple application of Isaac b'mitzvah. So Taisus quotes Yerushalmi that says that's not true. That the reason why an onen doesn't do mitzvahs is much more than just that. Not only is it onen potter min ha-mitzvahs, Taisus quotes, but an onen is actually also to do mitzvahs. If an onen does a mitzvah, it's an aveira. Why is that? So the simple pshat is because that's like a bizarin ha-meis. It means mid derabon and chazal misakein that it's the wrong time to do mitzvahs. Mitzvah is supposed to be done. The Yerushalmi quotes the pasuk l'man tiskos yom tekoy mechayecha. Yemei Chayecha means Yom Shetach Oisik B'chayim Lo B'Yom Shetach Oisik B'Meisim. That's an Asmachta. The Yerushalmi seems to be saying, says Taisus, that that's like the ultimate Bizoyin HaMeis. Here, your relative just died and you're trying to catch Achris. That's not right. Your relative just died, so you're learning Daf Yomi now. No, you're supposed to take care of your Meis. You're supposed to be involved in the Tzorchei HaMeis. Even if it happens to be that for 5 minutes, you're not being Oisik right now, so that's not a mechayev mitzvah, says Taisus. The status of being a Misha Meis Mutlafanov, so such an individual is by definition going to be a part of a mitzvah. Not only part of it, it's actually also to do mitzvahs. You're not allowed to volunteer to do mitzvahs. And according to Rashi, you want to volunteer, you volunteer. It follows the regular rules of Isaac B'mitzvah. But according to Taisus, it's an Issa B'durabonin to volunteer to do mitzvahs. That's how we usually assume the halacha. Like Taisus, like Yerushalmi, you're not allowed to do mitzvahs in the state of Aninus. Who is considered to be an Oinin for these purposes? So the Lashon HaMishnah is Misha Meisa Mutalafonov. So the Gemara is Medayak, at the beginning of the third Pech of Brachis, that it doesn't mean literally Mufonov physically. Misha Meisa is on the couch, you're sitting in the room. Misha Meisa Mutalafonov means Kol Shalav L'Kovro, like it says by Avram, Yocham Avram Yalpanei Meisa, means Misha Meisa Mutalafonov means it's Mutal Alecha L'Kbar Osai. Anyone who you're responsible, so again, if a regular person dies, it's a beautiful chesed for me to part of Chev Kedisha, but I'm not mutal alai l'kovro. Mutal alai l'kovro is primarily under relatives. So the Gemara says that whoever's a relative, l'gabi avelos, the seven krovim, is considered to be misha meisa mutal afanav and would be part from mitzvahs, even the meisa is not mamish there. So Tosfos quotes in Ever Benetam that when the Gemara qualifies that phrase, Mishum Eisim Butl Lefanav, so the Gemara speaks about Mishum Butl of the Kovro. So Beit HaTam says, what would the din be? Let's say you have someone who's a relative, but it's not Butl Lech Lekovro. You're not responsible. You're not, it's not incumbent upon you to bury them, and you're not even going to bury them. You have no shaykhs to bury them. So Beit HaTam says, then you're not a Noinim. So then all the din of Noinim is fall by the wayside. It doesn't mean you start Shiva yet, but you're not a Noinim. So Rabbeinu Tam, Tosfos quotes a story that happened to Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam's sister died. So I don't know how many sisters Rabbeinu Tam had, but one of his sisters was the Ri's mother. So it's possible this was that sister, I don't know. But the Maisa, Ayesha, Mesa, Chesesh Rabbeinu Tam. And Rabbeinu Tam lived in a different city. So we got a message. Somebody came running on horseback to him that his sister died. So Rabbeinu Tam ate meat and drank wine, even though the din is that an Onin is not allowed to have Yayin. Rabbeinu Tam did mitzvahs. He kept on learning whatever he did. He did. Rabbeinu Tam put on tefillin. Why did he do all those things? Because he said it's not mutl of the cobra. Why is it not mutl of the cobra? So Rabbeinu Tam gave two reasons. First of all, he said that I'm in another town. I can't travel, so I'm not going. There's nothing I'm going to do. And then the second reason Rabbeinu Tam said is because she has a husband. So it's not the Iker Chiv is a husband to bury his wife. So I'm a secondary relative. Even though I'm Chayv to Shiva, says Rebbeinu Tam, but that's not enough to be Chayv to be called in Einein. That was Rebbeinu Tam's Chiddush. And the Rosh disagreed with Rebbeinu Tam. The Rosh said it was a low plug. It's not that Chazal said every case you have to analyze and see. Yeah, if you are one of the seven Krovim, so then it's a Mutla Lecha Lekovro. So that's how we usually assume Halacha, like the Rosh, that you don't analyze case by case. You assume if you're one of the relatives, that's the thing. Let's say you've reached a point where your mom is doing nothing for the Kvura. What do you mean? Why are you doing nothing for the Kvura? So the Rishalmi says that if you hand over the base like Katofim, if you hand the towns that used to have people who were in charge, they'd be like Katef from the shoulders, who carry the mace about on the shoulders. So once all arrangements have been made and the mace has been handed over to the Katofim, so then Adidas ceases to exist. Why? Because it's not Love the Kvura anymore. There's nothing. I'm not doing anything. According to Rashi, Zichanat Mutl of the Kovro, the whole tour is Odekos Oisik permits. So the guy's not doing it anymore. And even according to Taisus, the Bizoyan is that you're supposed to be doing something. But here, this is Daka Shalom, this is what the Olam does. Everybody hands over to the Katofim. So the Rishalmi says, and then the Aninus ceases to exist. So the later Acharonim had a big Shaila. Is this play out in terms of our modern day Chevra Kedisha? The practice in Europe always was that they had people who were in charge of the Chevra Kedisha. So once the person calls the Chevra Kedisha, so then there's very little that he's doing. So is that mean that all the Dibur Vaninus are off? Bismat Hazeh. Once Chevra Kedisha, usually Chevra Kedisha is the first one to call. Person dies, 5 minutes later, you already call the Chevra Kedisha. So the whole Aninus disappears. So most of the Chavarim said no. That our modern day Chevra Kedisha are not exactly the Ketofim of the Rishalmi. And one of the reasons that suggests it is that even with the handing over to the Chevra Kedisha, there are still things that have to be done. There are still phone calls that have to be made. There are still documents that have to be found. There are still people have to be contacted. There are Hespedim written. The Kerem was still doing things even after the Chevra Kedisha. The rabbi, everyone's been alerted already. So the way things work out today, the Chevra Kedisha takes care of the Arun and the Tachrichim and those kinds of things, but there's still a lot of other arrangements that have to be made, and all those things in the Chavar HaMeis, they're all to enhance the Chavar HaMeis for the Kvura. So that's all considered to be in the Gedder of Adonim Bizman. So that's what the Minhag today is that even though the Chevra Kedisha has been alerted, the Adonim still don't say Kriyashma, they don't daven, they don't make brachas, etc. They don't do any of the mitzvahs because they still have the status of Mishum Eisim Lefanav. There was a suggestion of Shlomo Zalman years ago that very, very common shout, that person is flying to Eretz Yisrael, they're flying with the mace to Eretz Yisrael. So they put the mace under the plane, and now they're sitting in their seat. So what are they doing? It's nothing they're doing. So they're going 12 hours, 10 hours on a flight, and they're doing absolutely nothing. They got to be the mace. They couldn't even, they tried to. So Shlomo Zalman had a tzad to say that maybe they would be chayv mitzvahs. All of a sudden, they have to start davening. Normally, the Onanim usually don't daven on the plane. Shlomo Zalman said, no, not so fast. Maybe the Onanim have to daven. So b'shaito, many people disagreed with Shlomo Zalman, because him goes there, there were still things. You could still write a hesped. There's still, here and there, there are still things here and there that can be done. So that psach with Shlomo Zalman has become pretty much a moot psach b'zman hazeh, because now people do everything on the plane. You just pay a couple of dollars for your WhatsApp on the plane, and you're doing everything. So I remember when my mother-in-law, we escorted her to Eretz Yisrael. So I remember my brothers-in-law, they were all on the WhatsApp. Every 2 seconds, everyone was dealing with all the kvura. So they're trying to arrange this time of the Leviathan, that time of the Leviathan, who's going here, who's going where. So you could sit on your plane, fly it over the Atlantic, and you have the whole world at your fingertips. So b'zman hazeh, even Rosh HaMazal would clearly agree that it's mamash in l'chayim misha oisik b'meisa gala b'zeh. Today's world, but not oisik the mace in the old way. Like, you know, we don't, the Krovim don't generally go to the cemetery and dig the hole. They don't generally build a coffin or knit tachrichim. So we have a little bit more high tech kinds of. I remember when my father was niftar. So he was niftar in the middle of the night. So I came back middle of the night back home, and then after I went to sleep a couple of hours, I woke up in the morning. So it was, you know, 8 o'clock. Everyone around was davening. I wasn't davening. So I was trying to figure out what am I doing exactly. So I remembered that there was someone in my father's family I had lost contact with for years. I knew that my father would have appreciated if the person would have known, would have come to Levaya, would have been a covenant mace for him. So I didn't have the personal context. I had to start to find this one. Yeah, Shbenim. So I was sitting at the computer for a half hour Googling this person and trying to track down this guy. This website, figure out who in the world had the contact number for this long-lost relative. So I remember thinking to myself, this is the modern-day Misha Mesa Mutla Funim, that we don't dig holes anymore, we don't dig graves anymore, we don't set tachwichim. We check on the computer to find whatever we can do.
Someone on the plane without internet,
though. You can get it in a second.
If he doesn't have a smartphone.
Such people still exist. They don't have a smartphone. You didn't hear that. That was off the record. So he's a tzaddik. Yisraelim. So between you and me, he'll ask the guy next to him to make the WhatsApp like he does for everything else, but he can't find his way. He also asked the guy to help. I don't think, even B'shaita, I don't think Rosh HaMazam was really accepted. I think it was Manazah. I don't think anyone follows this Rosh HaMazam. But, so the bottom line is that the person who meets those criteria, Misha Mesa Mutla Funav, so would in fact be part of the mitzvahs. And again, a lot of this discussion appears in Nuchas Kriyashma, because that's where the source of the whole sugya is, being in the third pack of brachas. There is another individual who at one time in history was potter from Kriyashma, but no longer that is the case, and that is the Balkari. So the Mishnais and the third Brech and Bracha speak about the person who became Tommy to Maskari. So even though Minat Torah, he says Kriyashma, but Midr Rabban, he doesn't. That was the Takana's Ezra. Ezra made a Takana that Balkari doesn't make Brachas, doesn't daven, doesn't say Kriyashma, doesn't learn until he goes to the Mikvah. So the Gemara says that in the later generations, they didn't follow the Takanas Ezra anymore. The Gemara says that the minhag became not to follow Takanas Ezra, which is a startling statement. You have 10 blot of Masechet Brachos, all the details, intricacies about the Takanas Mishnayos. You have 5 Mishnayos in a row about the Takanas Ezra. And then the Gemara says, nah, but the days of Nachum Yitzchak, Nogam, Harit Lasabe, they stopped fulfilling Takanas Ezra. So Taisus asked, how did that happen exactly? We have a rule that ain beis in yochel levat, not even beis in chaver, gal b'chokhma minyan. So as great as some of the later Tanoim were, they weren't Ezra. So how did the Takanas Ezra just disappear into thin air? So Taisa suggests in Bava Kama that maybe the reason was it was never really pashta b'chol Yisrael. The Gemara says in different places that if you have a Takana that was instituted, but it never really caught on 100%, so the Takana is kind of goes up in smoke. I mean, you don't need such a high level beis in to be mevatle. Once the Beis Din realizes it's 100 years later, the Kana hasn't been so successful, so then you get another Beis Din together, which has been Vatlan and Shoyin. The rules of God B'chach Minyan don't apply if it was never Pashta. So Taisus is guessing that perhaps the Kana Sezra was never really a Pashta B'chol Yisrael, and that's why in the days of the Tanoim, they just did away with the bottom line of the days, but the early days of the Amorim already, it was the Gamrei gone. There were some Rishonim would say it's chasidus and it's a nice thing, it's a wonderful thing, but the mice in terms of pure halacha, so Takanas Ezra doesn't apply. There's only one day a year that maybe Takanas Ezra applies. That's in Yom Kippur. The Rosh quotes an old minhag from the Gaonim that you go to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur. So nobody's exactly sure why you're going to the mikvah. What grandiose reason you're going to the mikvah? So different reasons are given. Some say that's tshuva, other reasons, but there are some who suggest that maybe the minhag was that even though Klal Yisrael were never really mekabel Takanas Ezra b'shlemusa, but they were mekabel one day a year. You can have a kabbalah sat takana lechatzoyin, means the Beis Din Gadol makes a takana, and then Klal Yisrael votes on the takana, and it's not all or nothing. That means you can have a partial kabbalah. That means we're willing to accept the takana for certain days a year, and we're not willing to take it the other days of the year. That's what some want to argue. So if that's the case, so then Takanas Ezra is mamish binding on Yom Kippur. So that would be a very, very serious thing. That would mean that if a person, say, became a Balkari on Yom Kippur, he would have to go to the mikvah. It would be Chayvi Tfilah Stomach Kedarka. So there's one day in Misham that says that. We don't pass like that. It's a nice Shtibel Torah, but Lamaisa, we don't, we pask that you don't go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur. So we probably pask in Mikra Din that the consensus was bottle the Gabra even on Yom Kippur, and it was just a minute Yisrael. It's not really a din to go to the mikvah of Yom Kippur. But whatever case is, in one time in history, there was such a takana of the consensus, and that takana would have prevented, would have potted a person, the Rabbanim, from saying Kriya Shema. And Lamaisa, that din doesn't really apply at all in his manasseh. There's one last aspect of Hilchos Kriya Shma, and we'll have to pick this up next week, which is not really Hilchos Kriya Shma, but it found its way in the Gemara and the Sugyas of Kriya Shma. Therefore, in Shulchan Aruch, it snuck its way into Archaib and Hilchos Kriya Shma, and those are the Sugyas of saying Kriya Shma in the presence of Tzoa and saying in the presence of Erevah, those kinds of things. So even though those are not Kriya Shma unique, they reply to Talmud Torah and to Brachas, to Tefillah, all the above, but all the Simanim are in Shulchan Aruch and Archaib and Chelek Aleph. So since a syllabus is Mishnah Berurah Chelek Aleph, so hopefully next week we'll try to go through those, some of those halachas fairly quickly. And then I want to get moving into Chos Tefillah. We do not have that many weeks left this year, so we'll try to maybe get a jump started already into Chos Tefillah already next week. Okay, we'll stop here.